Today's episode of the Film Stage Show is brought to you by MUBI, the online streaming curated awesome cinema. For your free month trial of MUBI, go to mubi.com/filmstage. Ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new episode of the Film Stage Show, the official podcast of thefilmstage.com. I, of course, am your host, Brian J. Rowan. With me today, we have Michael Snydell.
I was jamming to that.
It's still playing under us, so we can still jam. We also have Bill Graham.
Don't let the jam stop.
The jam will never stop. This is a jam consistent podcast. My initial thought for opening this episode was actually going to be to like find shitty 1970s like news station music and pretend that we were on a news station. But I was
thinking that we should do like an intro like that, but that just seems to just toe that line a little bit.
Yeah, that's somehow a little less inappropriate than Dirty Laundry by Don Henley. Today we will be talking about Kate Plays Christine. This is one of two movies that premiered at Sundance this year that dealt with the on-air suicide of Christine Chubbuck back in 1974. This one takes a more meta approach. We will see if that approach paid off. Before we get into all of that, let me remind everyone that you can follow us on Twitter at Film Stage Show. You can also find us on Facebook, search for The Film Stage Show. And you can always email us at podcast@thefilmstage.com. We love to hear from our fans, and you are our fans. So, by the transitive property, we love to hear from you. That's about it for the housekeeping as far as how you can get in touch with us. We did receive an email from Jacob Seaver. Severe? I think I always call him Severe, but I'm pretty sure his name is Seaver. And it was in firm opposition to our Hell or High Water podcast. It's such a long email. And this happens to us all the time because we encourage people to email us. And then because our fans are the best, we always get like a full essay instead of just, screw you, you're wrong, you're dumb, I hate you, which is...
Are you complaining about our fans, Brian?
No, this is the thing. I love our fans because I can't think of another place where we'd get like a full-on like print quality essay from people who disagree with us. And who usually do it with a fair amount of like grace and earnestness and not just being a dick. So thank you, fans. We love you. Jacob, we got your email. And I mean, it's like a full podcast to go through everything in there. Did anyone want to address anything about it specifically?
I'm from Texas, by the way.
So that's going to be our coded message to Jacob. Bill lives in Texas. So
born and raised here, never lived in any other state. So I don't know. Should I put on more of an accent? I don't know.
Maybe you should.
I can't help you there.
My wife is from Texas, born and raised in Houston, but she specifically eliminated her accent when she was on a debate team and found that people took her more seriously without it. So now unless you get her drunk, she doesn't really truck with the Texas accent, but it is a handy.
Does she say y'all still?
Oh yeah. Well, even I said y'all even before I moved to Texas.
Okay. Well,
because yeah. I think
that's a southern thing.
I guess is southern.
And yeah. And then like I think the Northeast says you all. And
yeah, it's you all.
That
I say
seems
you
like
all,
a lot of
I say
wasted
use guys sometimes.
All that seems like a lot of wasted effort just to not say y'all.
Yeah.
I'm just a Midwesterner. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Well, obviously, we now know that you say you guys, so Anyway, thank you y'all for writing to us and being awesome. And maybe we could just respond to Jacob in an email. But Jacob, keep in mind, Bill lives in Texas. So before we get into our review, let me remind everyone that we are sponsored, as always, by Mubi, the curated online cinema. You can go to Mubi.com for a free trial. That's 1 month free. Go to MUBI.com/filmstage. The thing about Mubi is that unlike your Netflixes and your Hulus and your Amazon Primes, Mubi actually curates a selection of films. So it's not like you're stuck in a mire of whatever someone had the rights to. Mubi goes out and finds the best films to showcase and then gives you 30 days to watch them. And at the end of that 30 day, that movie disappears. But guess what? It's okay, because every day a new cinematic gem is on display. What is playing now on Mubi? They have a Romer double bill going on.
Romer.
You know what? The French can suck it, because I hate their names. Eric Romer. They're showing The Marquise of O, which is one of his few period films. And then they also have Full Moon in Paris, which is described as a rich, fresh, and epoch-defining gem led by the utterly enchanting Pascal Ogier. I don't know. I don't know how to say this name. Snydell, you want to give it a ring?
Nope. I'm good.
Okay. Anyway, they also have a Venice Golden Lion, I should be able to say, a Venice Golden Lion double bill, and the Ballad of Genesis and Lady J. So,
Brian, I only mansplain when I'm sure.
that's like the only way that mansplaining is okay. You know, some people
when someone knows they're right.
Right. Well, Bill, you live on the internet. You know that people will mansplain the shit out of something, and then you have to be like, sorry, no, that's not actually how that works.
Oh, okay.
So I can accept a certainty of mansplain.
We just had a mansplaining on mansplaining.
This has been your irony minute here at the Film Stage Show. Anyway, that's Mubi, MUBI.com/filmstage. Do that, get a month free on us, and see why, like, you know, all of us on here, you will fall in love with Mubi too.
Woo!
Woo! All right, so Kate Plays Christine. This is written and directed by Robert Green, which is not the friend of mine who I'm helping to move this weekend.
Okay.
It's Robert Green with an E. I just realized that they had the same name. And this stars Kate Lynn Scheel. Snydell, is that right?
Come on.
I just want to be sure, man.
She does say her last name in the film at one point.
I think that, okay, this is something we can get into, but I'm pretty sure that they give her a different last name in the film, even though she is credited as herself.
I don't think so.
Yeah, what?
I swear to God, I heard them call her a different last name, but it doesn't matter. This movie is about an actress named Kate who has been hired to play Christine Chubbuck, who killed herself live on air in Sarasota, Florida in 1974. And it is an examination of the actress's process of trying to understand and inhabit this person. So, yeah, like I said, the more meta take on this story. The other film coming out is from Antonio Campos, and that is just called Christine, and it stars Rebecca Hall. No one here has seen Christine, correct?
I think it was only at Sundance so
right.
far.
I wasn't sure if any of us had been to Sundance, which I guess is my way of saying, Michael, I didn't know if you'd been to Sundance.
I'm here.
Yeah, but you didn't go to Sundance, did you?
How do you know this?
Because you've been on this podcast, and I feel like you would have brought that up.
Okay. I mean, I guess that's fair enough.
Yeah. Jesus, Bill. All right. So now that we've gotten through that weird personal issue, here is the trailer for Kate Plays Christine.
In Sarasota, Florida today, a 29-year-old talk show hostess shot herself in the head live on television. The woman, Christine Chubbuck, said, "In keeping with Channel 40's policy of bringing you the latest in blood and guts, you're going to see another first, an attempted suicide."
The word spread like through the grapevine. I mean, it wasn't tweeted or emailed. You know, it was, "Hey, did you see what happened on Channel 40? And the old-fashioned way, you know, person to person. If you're going to play this role, you need to have...
All right, so that is the trailer where Kate plays Christine. Let's get into it. Let's see if this movie, which is an examination of movies, is a good movie. Bill Graham, let's start off with you.
Sure. So one of the first things I kind of want to mention is that this is set up as kind of a documentary that ultimately kind of is about making a film that never ends up being a film itself. It's a very weird kind of narrative tone that they struck. And I couldn't help but feel like for the first half of the film, it was almost relenting to let me in. It felt to me, it felt like one of those kind of B-roll or like behind the scenes kind of footage of the making of a film that isn't necessarily well edited or well put together. And then I noticed that there were some kind of techniques that were being done, whether there was voiceovers and things like that, that were obviously very, very precise and very, controlled. They were on purpose, right? There was a purpose behind them and things like that. So this wasn't just a raw kind of behind the scenes look. And so once I got past that, the film really kind of explores what it means to be an actor, what it means to kind of take on this role of playing someone that had kind of this tragic end and kind of a tragic life in a lot of ways. And it's kind of Caitlin Scheel's struggle with what that even means, how much research and how much kind of, life she's supposed to bring to this character that she never knew, that she wasn't able to really find out all that much information about and things like that. So I think narratively it's kind of tough to get into if you're expecting either A, a documentary, or B, a film, right? So it's neither one of those things. It's kind of the melding of the two. And so it's really interesting to kind of watch and kind of witness. I think this would play a lot better. I can see this doing really well in like a festival circuit. Playing on a big screen with a lot of people kind of attentively paying attention to it. I think it loses some of that when it's kind of watched how we kind of watched it, whether it's on your TV, whether it's on, your laptop, on a screener, or, whatever way that you would watch it outside of the cinema. I think it kind of loses some of that touch. But overall, I can't say I'm disappointed with the film. It's just there's a lot more to get into that I wasn't expecting it to necessarily touch on. So it's tough. It's a tough film to kind of break open and kind of figure out how you feel watching it as closely as I did. I only watched it earlier yesterday. So yeah.
All right, Michael Snydell.
I'm going to say up front, this is my movie of the year right now.
For fuck's sake, really?
Yeah, no, it absolutely Christ. Is.
All right, the new Nick Newman, everyone.
No, this is absolutely in my sweet spot for my favorite things, which is, the point at which, documentary and cinema, kind of collide, I did have some knowledge of, what kind of sensibility Green had. And, I was kind of aware that this was going to be more in line with something like, Exit Through the Gift Shop or The Arbor or I had another one. Hold on. Exit Through the Gift Shop or yeah, the Arbor, even I'm Still Here, which I don't really like. But I found this so, I mean, in the beginning, I found it so interesting that it's just an inherent contradiction, because it's constantly just building up the myth of both Christine Chubbuck and Caitlin Scheel. And, you know, trying to say that, oh, she's a normal person and that we shouldn't, you know, glorify her and everything. But then the movie is also all about that. So there is like almost a prankster element to it. But what's so strange about it is it has such a purity, a pure empathy for this character. And I think they kind of encapsulate that idea probably best late in the film, where one of the old coworkers says, you know, the thing she hated most is the prime motivation for why her story is being retold.
Mm-hmm.
But what I just like so much about this is there's just so many damn ideas in this movie. And I can see how some people will immediately find that kind of difficult to get into. But I just loved that there's so many things on the, you know, on the fringe, from, you know, a side discussion about whether suicide is a cowardly act, or, you know, at what point are we doing a person a disservice when we, you know, distill their individual legacy down to a single moment. And I also love that almost the final message of the movie, you know, without getting into specifics, is that even as great as Caitlin Scheel is in this, the movie recognizes that, like, the full human experience is so beyond just watching someone perform. It's not simply about, you know, there is such a totality of self in our body language and in our modulation of moods, and especially just the way that Caitlin Scheel and Christine Chubbuck just have a conversation back and forth, and especially how thorny and, I hesitate to say obnoxious, but that's the word that comes to mind. It becomes very obnoxious how in your face that relationship becomes. And I know we'll probably get into the ending later, and that's still the thing that I'm very up in the air about, but this was just an experience that really, really gets at why I love film so much, because it makes me question, why do I care about whether a performance is faithful or real, or why do I care about a performance in context? Mm-hmm. So it just, I like how much it made me question my overall experience with cinema. And about the only other thing that's made me do this, oh boy, this is a Nick Newman moment, was Hong Sang, who's, oh shoot, not right now. I've said the title so many times. It's Hong Sang, who's new film from, or song, Hong Sang Soo. I can't talk today.
Yeah, you were able film to correct me with Romare.
Got it.
All right, right now, wrong then. There's the film I was talking about. And okay. These two films are just like, they're the two experiences I've had this year that have made me think most about my experience watching movies. So, all right, that's my opening thoughts on this.
Okay, I guess I have to talk now.
You don't have to.
I'd prefer not to. I mean, God, okay. What a non-entity of a film. Like, what an amateurish, boring, ugly, pointless movie. Like, what a void of a central character. What, ooh, what, like, junior high posturing about ideas without ever actually having, like, the courage to confront them. What nonsense, provocateur bullshit to end on. Like, What a stupid waste of 2 hours of my life that I could have spent, you know, just stabbing myself in the arm with a lit cigarette. Like, what? There's nothing here. I mean, that's a lie. There's something here. But it's like when they speak to people who, to the best of my knowledge, actually knew Christine Chubbuck, when they basically just make a documentary about this woman, which serves the purpose of their theme and conceit without having to make us focus on this boring, lifeless, like dead-eyed carp of a main character that just doesn't do anything, like doesn't emote, doesn't change. I mean, we get these pictures of this movie that they're making, and it's like sub-telenovela, which just makes all the pomp and posturing all that much harder to understand, because instead of coming off as like, I don't know, like Christian Bale working on a real Oscar grab, and like that kind of a focused, nearly method actor, like doing something that might be important, but also might be voyeuristic and mean. I mean, we get like a third grade media class trying to make this
What third grade has a media class?
I don't know. All right. So a ninth grade media class trying to make this stupid movie with this vapid shell of a woman who's like, acting's really important to me. I always like take parts of my characters with me. Like I'm really, and it's like, I don't believe that you've ever cared about anything in your life. So I can't decide if that's the movie making a point about this person, or they just got someone who can't act to try to act as an actress acting as a real person. And like the confusion over what was purposefully cheap and poorly done and what was just cheap and poorly done eventually just wore me down. And I was like, you know, if you're not going to take the time to really make these delineations to help me understand what precisely you're trying to do so that I can try to meet you on the level that you want to operate on, I'm just going to meet you on the level that I assume that you were actually reaching, which was piss poor and just utterly, utterly disappointing. And yeah, that's it. I mean, like, what else is there to say about a movie that is like 45% a dead-eyed, listless woman wandering around Sarasota and 10% interesting interviews, and then the remainder is just nonsense and just stupidity, and, you know, with a dash of soap opera level reenactments of a movie that thank God never got made. Like, it's just awful. It's just not worth your time. Just stay away from it.
Okay.
Bill, you want to... I don't know where we go from here. This is going to be fun.
Well, okay. So I guess this is probably our first real like disagreement, all three of us.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. This is going to be a...
Let's do this.
I mean, this isn't Kubo level, because we all kind of really enjoyed Kubo.
Right.
And
no,
this
there
is,
was,
and
there
that were, went off the rails. So.
There were construction questions about Kubo, but on the whole, we all liked it. I mean, I'm just not going to be able to understand any time that any of you say that you got something out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's going to be a sticking point that we're just going to have to accept off the bat.
We or you? Because it sounds like there's a lot of contrarian from you, mostly.
We as a group are going to have to understand that I didn't get anything, you all did. And there's going to be very little chance that you're going to be able to reveal something to me that I missed that will make me suddenly see the light. And I'm never going to be able to make you understand that I saw this movie as just a real shoddy, amateurish, like I said, junior high philosophy version of something that was actually an important story that they just were too hung up on the cleverness to actually reach into the substance.
Ryan, I want to...
I mean, that's just where I am.
All right, well, here's the thing. If we're going to meet halfway, you don't get to start with... that it's a shoddy amateur.
That's what I am saying that I see it as. Obviously, I know that you see it as something more, which is great, but
no,
I
it's,
can't.
But like, oh, let's take it on its own terms. Like, okay. Can we take the qualitative... okay, so I Bill, I'm guessing from what you're saying that you liked it more than Brian. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
It would be hard to like it less.
Okay. Well, so let's take the qualitative context out of it and at least talk about it.
Okay.
Because obviously it seems like me and Bill are going to disagree with you about some things. But one thing I am very curious about what you said is your frustration with the lack of delineation. Personally, I like the lack of delineation, but can you tell me, okay, just to speculate, what version of this in terms of the delineation would you like more? Would you like it more if it was one half that was, completely specified as, you know, the documentary preparation and one half that was, you know, all of the heightened scenes edited together? I mean, I'm just curious from a presentation aspect, what about the delineation?
It wasn't that I had problems delineating between what was documentary and what was the film.
But you're
saying
the purpose.
That was all very obvious. My problem with the delineation was delineating between what parts of this movie were vapid, shallow, and poorly done on purpose, and which ones were just vapid, shallow, and poorly done. Because, like, her acting in the movie scenes was terrible, but her acting in the documentary scenes wasn't a far sight better. And, like, she gets out-acted by the woman who's playing the actress who's playing Christine's mom. Like, so I'm thinking to myself, like, is this a damning of a certain kind of actress who can't reach, like, the heights of reality and emotional honesty that a true amateur can? Or am I just not buying into the central conceit that this person has talent that I'm just not seeing?
Well, I think, so first off, I do want to mention that the film definitely has a moment where every single time I saw the footage of the film that they are kind of trying to make, I was struck by how poorly it seems. Now, look, this is a situation where a lot of that footage is almost the second camera is capturing it. It's not necessarily from the camera that would ideally be, you know, the take of the film itself, or the shot that they would choose. And then there's also a question of anytime you see something out of context, how that works. I don't know if y'all have ever been on a film set or ever been on, you know, a TV set or whatever it may be. But when you see some of this stuff loosely edited together or just shot out of context, it's hard to get into it. And I fully, you know, I understand how when you see something out of context like that, it can look like, well, what the hell are they even making? And at a certain level, yes, some of the acting is kind of questionable. Some of the line reads are kind of questionable. But there's always a question, I think, that follows this film of whether – I think Brian's kind of hinting at it, but it's like whether those shots and whether those line reads are either from Scheele's perspective intentional – or if they were chosen by the director of the film to utilize to kind of show her kind of workshopping some of this stuff out. Because, I mean, obviously the film, it shows you kind of behind the scenes looks where you get multiple takes of certain sequences and certain scenes and things like that. And so, you know, it's like, okay, if you were kind of making a documentary about this, this is kind of what that would look like, right? You would want to kind of show the process. But at the same time, it's troubling because I don't necessarily want to see that. It doesn't help the film, in my eyes, flow any better by showing us multiple takes where she's struggling through it multiple times. I understand if you want to show me a couple of multiple takes sequences, but this film does that maybe close to a dozen times where you see multiple takes of the same scene. And you're just like, I get that, you know, not everybody's going to have like a one take kind of situation where they just nail it on the first try, but what's the point of showing that to me beyond just a few times to kind of show me that process? Unless it gets better. But unless it gets noticeably better,
right?
Show me the final sequence. So show me some takes, right? Show me some multiple takes, and then show me, like, I was expecting like a 5-minute clip at the end, kind of putting everything together, all the finished kind of everything melded together, maybe have some music behind it, maybe have, you know, color correction and all this other shit that you would expect. Show me that so I can see the final finished product of what you've been struggling to kind of create and come up with this entire time. It doesn't feel like it goes anywhere but up a hill and then straight back down. It is what it is, but I think kind of the amateurish way that it's presented is kind of troublesome in that it doesn't necessarily go anywhere.
Especially in my eyes, because they're using that amateurish to make a point about the unnecessary and kind of the nature of this film to begin with. They're like, you know, this is a movie about a woman who's famous because she killed herself.
And she's not even famous.
Look at how, like, hokey this is. Look at how, like, dumb this is. Like, this is what you want. Like, this is you want this terrible soap opera movie where this woman kills herself at the end. Like, and then they kind of use the shoddiness of their film within a film to bolster their argument that it's a story that doesn't need to be told. But it's weird. Like, if you were an artist who applied actual craft, then you might be able to make a story worth being told about this.
Mm-hmm. You guys were looking for totally different things from this movie than I was. I did not ever view the heightened scenes as a process that was then going to be shown the
I never thought that they were going to show the movie within a movie in any kind of sequence. I was totally fine with this just being a documentary that had, you know, random clips of her working on. Like, I never expected a short film to play at the end of this.
No, I'm just saying that, like, this feels like a movie about process to me that is not about her getting better in those takes. And it wasn't really going along with, for me, the thesis about why this shouldn't be done. If anything, those heightened scenes felt very deliberately placed next to then hearing that exact actor talk about their own experiences.
Right.
Like those heightened scenes almost feel, it is subtelenovela, but it is very deliberate. I think Robert Greene is very, very aware that has a lack of construction to that. But if you look at those scenes, they're also very well composed. They're terribly color corrected. They're terribly color corrected, and the acting is absolutely, you know, capital A acting. It's very bold.
I was going to say capital A abysmal.
All right, fine. Capital A abysmal. Let's go with yours, Brian.
Two capital A's. We can have two capital A's.
But that felt very, very intentional to me to have those things. Mm-hmm. Now, based on the ending, I can see how you can draw those conclusions. But I did not make it that those scenes were, you know, trying to make you feel more guilty about it. I think it's also Robert Greene realizing that Robert Greene and Caitlin Scheel realizing that if they would have done, you know, the art house not the art house version, the very, you know, subtle, simmering version, you know, of Christine Chubbuck's story in that film within a film, it would also verge on parody. So sure. I think at a certain point, maybe you can say it's a preemptive measure towards criticism, but I was so fascinated with what happened when you would hear, you know, these line readings and then hear these people talk about their own experiences, and they're heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. I wasn't bothered by the overall construction. And obviously you guys are going to disagree with me about
the
compositions, but I think that Robert Greene is just a really interesting director in how he puts these things together. So, I think the stickiness is very in – stickiness, the word I'm looking for. Sorry, not stickiness. The fact that this feels almost laconic at times, and the times it feels very tight. And I like how flawed and imperfect this whole thing feels, even when it comes to the ideas, they have very direct ideas. But I like the ways that, you know, it flows into, you know, her doing a take of this movie and then her, you know, literally just talking to the director and talking about her own, you know, misgivings with how she mm-hmm. presented that scene. Sure. And I was never looking for it to improve. I was looking for it to just further reflect that what are we doing? I guess one thing that's going to be fundamentally different here is I like that it meanders. Well, Brian, you especially found that incredibly annoying.
Yes.
Well, so here's a couple of questions that I want to kind of pose to y'all. And this is something that the more I think about the film, the more it troubles me is – so obviously, Robert Greene decided to make this documentary, pseudo film kind of situation, and got Caitlin Scheele to kind of sign on board for this, right? But the
from
other
the beginning,
actors,
I believe, as well. Okay, so I think this was developed with her in mind.
Uh huh. But for the other actors that are involved, and it seems like most of them are not necessarily amateurs, but definitely. Not someone necessarily in the studio system at this present time. You know, a lot of them have either done plays or focused on just trying to struggle to get work. You know, they're working actors, right?
Sure.
They're people that are kind of in that hazy zone of trying to make it work. And I'm curious how much they were told.
Sure.
About what the situation was, that they're not actually making a film, that they're actually making a documentary, but they were cast to play a character in a film. But hey, we're going to turn the camera on you and talk to you about like being an actor and what your life is like and things like this. And it almost seems like, okay, so if he chose to intentionally make this pseudo film within the documentary,
sure,
that isn't very good. Like, how do you cast for that? What do you like? How does that make someone feel if they're trying to bring an actorly process to you know their own craft, and it's like, okay,
and then you have a director who's purposefully not serving them,
exactly. And it's like okay, so the purpose of this film is to not make a good film. The purpose of this film is to not make anything really whatsoever of the footage. It's to utilize the making of the footage to be used in a documentary about the making of a movie.
So the act of killing, essentially.
It, It's, well, in a way.
It's the act of killing, conversation, I should say.
Sure. Yeah, because,
I mentioned The Arbor earlier, and that has a similar
exploitative
bent.
Well, Bill, I had a similar concern, but with the people who actually knew her, like, they talk to people who, again, I can only assume are people who knew her, who worked with her, who were from the area, who were part of that news station. And I'm just like, you know, these people are saying some great stuff.
What a
shame that it's buried in this metatextual, again, I'm sorry to use the word, amateurish nonsense. Like,
wait, how is it buried?
Because you have to slog through all of the fiction elements to get to her moment of talking with the guy who loaded the tape or the guy who...
But those are all over the entire film.
But you, it's like if you want peanuts, but you have to eat a Snickers to get them. It's like, well, why can't I just have a bag of peanuts? Oh, there we go. Food analogy.
Okay, so you just want a doc.
Yeah, like this movie makes me just want a doc because it's, like I said, it's a super interesting concept and there's a super interesting story here. And like this film doesn't serve that story. And then it doesn't serve the more artistic process oriented questions around it. So why not cut off the fictional vestigial elements that aren't working and just make a documentary?
I guess, I mean, that's the ultimate question about what this ultimately ends up being, because obviously in some circles it was very well received, and I think it hasn't – this is not out yet, right?
I don't believe this. It might be New York actually, but that's
about it. Limited at the moment, yeah.
Extremely limited, right? So the general populace, and I'm trying to see here – I think this film has, what, like 26 reviews online? Yeah, 20.
I think it's 29 reviews. 29. It's like 93% fresh.
Yeah. So there haven't been a lot of people that have seen this film. So sure. It won a special jury award for Sundance. And, you know, obviously, again, it was well received in some circles, but this hasn't really been kind of examined by. I don't want to say the popular culture. That's not the
point. No, but I know what you're saying,
but
for sure.
By a larger audience, right? So this is a very small sample size that really enjoyed this film. So it's tough to kind of feel like where – because I would say I'm positive on the film as a whole, but I'm in the middle to the point where I can see the justification for – why people would like this. I can also see the justification for why people would really dislike this film. Because I struggled with a lot of those same aspects on either side. I really enjoyed kind of the way that it explores what it means to be telling this story. And in the way it almost feels gross in a way, because it's like, she keeps asking all these people and talking to all these people about Christine, and until the end, until the last half, really, she doesn't get a whole lot out of these people because a lot of them didn't know it or didn't. She keeps asking these people in Sarasota, Florida about the situation or about, you know, did you ever hear about this person? And a lot of them are like, no. And that's one of the questions that I kind of kept coming back to while I was watching it, was would people today kind of know or remember this better or worse? And I'm really not sure, because it seems like if this happened today, this would be all over the news.
Well,
right,
Bill, there is an analog from the modern day in the same
way. You're talking about that woman that was shot live on air.
The Virginia news shooting that happened where there was a subject, an interviewer, and a cameraman.
That's right.
That was August. I'm looking it up now. It's August 26, 2015. It was Allison Parker and Adam Ward. And They were interviewing Vicky Gardner, who was executive director of a local chamber of commerce, when all three were attacked by a gunman. And it happened on air, and people saw that. And then not only that, but the gunman, who was Bryce Williams was his pseudonym, tweeted out, because he filmed it as it was happening, and he tweeted out his first person perspective of doing this. I recall this. I was at work and someone brought it to my attention to say something along the lines of, this is so awful, I'm not going to watch. And my immediate response was to look up the film and then find his Twitter account, because there's something to my mind that is cowardly about saying you have an opinion and how awful, and like trying to empathize without really
experiencing it.
Without like staring it down, you know, I'm the type of person, if something makes me uncomfortable, I need to confront it so that I can understand my discomfort and maybe hopefully grow from that. And so that's what I did. I wasn't thrilled by it. I wasn't able to eat that day. I mean, it's a horrible thing to witness. But the thing is, and, you know, this is kind of the point that, oddly enough, the actual Christine Chubbuck was making. Like, we get so many of these that, you know, who would even remember? Which is terrible. But this is probably the closest analog, because it was a former news reporter attacking people on the air and then making himself part of the story.
Yeah. And you know, I would certainly remember that situation. I think more than anything, it's like, I guess in a way, a lot of people probably didn't hear about it because either the news station wasn't watched that well. And that's one of the things that I keep kind of struggling with, was this like a public, because this was like an ABC affiliate that it happened at, but it wasn't like, I guess Sarasota isn't a huge city.
I've been there about 20 times. It's not that big.
So it's not like, so this was local news, I guess, but
this wasn't a national, well, it became a national story, but that was not a national channel.
Okay. I'm just wondering, like, how local was this? Was this like your local kind of like PBS situation, or was this like an actual, it was an actual affiliate of like ABC, and it was broadcast to like everybody's home on like Channel 4 or something like that, right? Okay. Yeah.
It's like your local news.
Okay. So yeah, this was definitely a big situation, and it confuses me why this didn't make more national headlines and things like that. I think it probably did, but just,
I mean, she was looking at the newspaper stories about it, like it was in the Washington Post.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, it's, I don't know, because everyone talks about Bud Dwyer. The politician who shot himself live on the air.
I don't recall that. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, maybe I'm just a morbid guy who knows all this stuff, but
you have encyclopedic knowledge of this stuff, Brian.
Bud Dwyer was a politician who I think was under corruption charges, and he had a press conference, and he had a manila folder with him, and he was like saying, you know, I'm not corrupt. Nothing is wrong with me. And then he pulled out some papers and handed them to an aide and said, like, you know, these are for the press and for my family. And then he pulled out a gun. And I mean, the video, I think, is on YouTube. You can look it up. It's pretty
okay.
Because people are like, you know, don't do it. And he just holds up his hand to keep everyone away. And then he eats his gun. And like that is something that people have seen, that, you know, if you're talking to people who know about this stuff, they know it. But I mean, even people who follow this type of thing don't really know Christine Chubbuck that much, because her tape was never released. So I think that after a certain point, without having that artifact to discuss, all you have is this person who died. which unfortunately happens all the time. So by snuffing the video of that, you've basically robbed the fire of oxygen, and there's no greater conversation to have about it because it's technically not out there for everyone to see.
Sure. Yeah. And we do get this one kind of news report, I guess. I'm not sure if that was the Washington Post recounting it or who it was. I can't remember what newspaper she was kind of reading it from. But they recount it in such a way that it feels like – because, look, there isn't someone just watching live TV like reporting on it. Right. That's not a situation that happens in newspapers. People aren't just like watching the news and like recording notes on it in case something crazy happens live on the air. So the way that this person recounted the story of Christine Chubbuck killing herself on air was like she mentions that her hand trembles at one moment. And I'm like, that's such a specific detail that you would have to rewatch it to pick up on that. I can't imagine someone just like turning on the news, watching it for 5 minutes and something like this happens and being able to recall it in such a vivid detail the way they were if they weren't specifically trying to cover that piece, right?
Or like, or it has to do with the way that we build a myth of people after the fact. You start thinking, I said this, or, you know, they were doing that. Like, it's, it, you know, there is a certain level of, you know, how much can we even trust, you know, as much as we take with good faith that everyone in the movie says something true, at what point are they, you know, perpetuating
view? I mean, if you've ever done any kind of research or heard any research about kind of witness theory and things like that, it is a mess. Like witnesses
you don't want to be the side character, so you try to make yourself a little more important.
Sure, but witness like testimony. I mean, and this is specifically, you know, I say witness. Obviously, this is in a trial kind of setting and stuff like that. But like witness testimony is like disastrously unreliable, like to a degree that is super faulty. And yet, you know, we at a certain point we have to take what we can get on this character because it just doesn't seem like a lot of people really kind of knew her, and that's part of her tragic background, is that a lot of people didn't really get to know her and didn't really, you know, kind of understand her. And everybody else that is kind of in the area has either very few firsthand knowledge, but some people have, you know, loose secondhand knowledge of her as a person or what's, you know, what went down that day and everything like that. And it's kind of like, man, there's just not a whole lot. I keep seeing her pick up this book. And it's called Suicide, isn't it? And
yes.
I was wondering what that book was about, if that is specifically about Christine Chubbuck or if that's just a book on suicide. I'm not sure what was going on there.
No, I think it was just about suicide.
Like the psychology of suicide.
I just want to say this, guys. Like, I see where you're coming from, and I was on your side with finding some of this gross, but I think that I guess you guys are going to disagree with me here, but I think that the film does a really good job in trying to get across what her day-to-day life would be. I mean, they're not only talking to people who may have known her, of what Christine Chubbuck's day-to-day life may have been like. You know, they're not only talking to, you know, people who may have seen a glimpse of her or may have seen a broadcast of her. They're talking to, you know, psychologists, and they're going to the location where, you know, the previous news station was. Like, it is at a certain point, you know, about trying to communicate like the whole experience of her life. And we can, sure, go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, like, my issue is that so many of the things that they do don't seem like they would in any way help this actress build her performance.
But that's not the point.
but we're seeing it through her. What is she doing? Like, if we want to get back, we're having a great existential conversation about, you know, questions of the length of public memory and what artists owe people whose lives they make into art. That's sure. great. But like, let's look at this film and okay. this mm-hmm. fiction element. What is she doing? Like, what is the point of following around this person to get at this stuff when the movie isn't even really confronting it in any meaningful way? Like,
well, I'm going to disagree with that, but let's talk specifically okay. about, all right, what, give me an example where you did not understand why it was happening.
Like you said, when she went to go like look at the old station.
I don't have an issue with that.
Yeah, well,
I mean, here's what's weird to me, because I literally just said, how would that help her build this performance? And you said that that wasn't it.
I mean, no, I don't think the movie's about that. I don't know. I guess, I just wasn't as concerned with, you know, moments where she's just like walking around on July 4th but and, you know, just talking to random people, like, and trying
character.
To be that. She's a character, but like, so she's still trying to, no, go ahead.
If she's our character, I should be empathetic or understanding of the steps that she is taking.
Sure.
And many of them seemed like not what an actress would do, and they don't really try to make it seem like it is, but they seem like what a documentarian would do in their attempt to kind of see a place or feel a place. I mean, there's a through line here about how she's doing all this to try to act this woman's life better, but none of it ever seems to change her in any way. Like,
but that's kind of the point, because she is a mirror of her. No, she's a mirror of her in a way as well. I mean, when she's talking about, as she finds out more and more about Christine's personal life, she's also reflecting that she has some of the same, you know, sensibilities, whether those are constructed or whether those are an authentic portrait of where she's at in her life. I mean, I think the movie is trying to, I think it's very clearly that she's not really having a transformation, even as she's trying to have a physical transformation, you know, with things like contacts or the wig, which already has this,
the world's most,
you know,
unconvincing
energy
wig. And again, I don't know if that's on purpose, because it seemed like it was a purposeful choice, or if they just didn't have the money for a better wig.
Well, I really think Green wants us to see Sheel as both people. He doesn't want Sheel to disappear into mm-hmm. Chubbuck. I think that's a very intentional thing. And especially when you consider how often artifice is in general used in the movie. The fact that, you know, you hear the director talking, even if you can't really understand what he's saying, or you see that the camera sometimes like links into something that doesn't feel like a documentary at all. There's a scene where he's watching Christine on the beach, and then he starts following a pelican. Like, there's things like that where he absolutely wants to remind you that, you know, at a certain point, we're aware too that this is a piece of performance art.
In service of what? I guess that's what I'm still struggling with. Like, this movie isn't giving me a compelling character to follow. It's not particularly engaging with any of its ideas. It's like a splash page of like discussion questions that you can have with friends.
When Brian doesn't like something, he really doesn't like.
No, I know.
But I mean, I don't feel like I'm being unreasonable. I'm not just, I mean, I know I've called it boring because it is, but I'm not resting on that as my criticism. I'm like, I'm putting myself out there. Like, I really, if you were to write the themes down of this movie and the questions that it poses without ever actually engaging with them and just hand them to me and give me four good friends and a bottle of whiskey, I could have a much better time than this movie. And we'd probably get deeper responses and like fuller ideas. And it's just annoying that they went out of their way to find these people who have really, you know, you've never heard of them. You've never spoken to them. I don't think anyone's ever spoken to them about this before. And they bury it under this fiction element story about Kate playing Christine that only serves to give us what is one of the most risible and laughable endings to a movie that I've seen in many, many years. And in fact, we should probably jump into spoilers to talk about that. I don't know. Is there anything non-spoiler to say that we still like to talk about?
Bill, I'd like to hear what you think about Scheele a little bit more, to be honest.
I have no issue with Scheele for the most part. I think what she's trying to craft and everything like that is pretty intelligent. I think if this wasn't a documentary and this was just her own legwork, I think nobody would have any issue. It's the fact that there's a camera kind of following this process around. I think, you know, obviously Brian has kind of an issue with the fact that she's kind of, you know, doing a lot of these things that just doesn't seem to actually benefit the narrative very much. But I think as an actorly process, I think she's kind of onto something. But there's a moment, especially early on, she's reading from the diary of Christine when she was like 15, and she's talking about how she wants to be this housewife and mom, but she wants to love everybody or everybody to love her. But she also mentions this kind of weird moment where she's like, but I don't want to do anything half in. You know, I want to do everything just kind of full and with like a little bit of spice, is what she keeps saying. And there's another moment where Kate, I guess, is talking about her own life, about being an actress and how she just kind of fell into being an actress. And look, she's on House of Cards. She's been in some films that, you know,
The Heart Machine, which is really good.
She's been in some stuff, right? And so it's not like she's just this super struggling actress that's, you know, I guess she's not a huge name, but she's big enough to where if I mention some of the works that she's been in, and she hasn't been, you know, one of the last few people on like the casting call, right? She's been, you know, middle of the pack kind of situation where she plays kind of characters and stuff like that. And I think even at one point she mentions if one of her performances is called subtle again, she may, you know, she may just go off the deep end, right?
Well, because subtle is a great way to make up for the fact that there's nothing going on.
I don't necessarily agree with that, but I think, like I said, I think her actorly process is pretty intelligent, and it's obviously trying to get at what the emotion underneath is, and it's kind of showing that struggle of how do I play this character if I can't get anyone to tell me who she was and how she acted and things like that. I don't, you know, she mentions, and it's kind of heartbreaking in a way that she hasn't even heard this woman talk. You know, and it's like so much is available out there about so many people.
Exactly.
And yet this person that they're making
anything with it.
Okay.
What do you want to be done?
I would love for Scheele's performance to change in any way as she learns more about this woman.
You don't think it changes?
No, I think that they keep adding external elements and that she doesn't seem to ever change. Like, her voice doesn't change, her delivery doesn't change, the way she holds herself doesn't change. I mean, at some point, someone in the movie, like, is startled by her because they thought she was a mannequin. I was like, yeah, I know, right? There's no greater understanding to this person coming through this actress's performance. And again, I don't know if that's on purpose, because if in the movie Kate is supposed to be a shitty actress who can't take any of what she's learned and turn it into a meaningful performance, fantastic. But if we're supposed to be seeing her building Christine and then finally talking through Christine's personality as she has reconstructed it to the audience, then that's a failure of an epic proportion because it never comes through.
I never thought about this film in these terms at all. This is strange.
I'm sorry. I can't help
No, it's just interesting.
Can we please get into spoilers?
Sure.
It's impossible to talk about this film as richly as I would like to. And somehow we've been talking about it for an hour and 6 minutes.
All right.
I mean, at this point, Michael, you're down. Bill, you're sort of down. I would rather...
I want to specify, it's not a perfect movie by any stretch of the imagination, but I haven't had a richer experience watching a movie all year.
Okay.
Incredible. So we're going into spoilers. We're going into spoilers right now. I mean, The Shallows was a richer experience for me.
That's a pretty great experience too, though.
A damn good experience. Don't get me wrong. Steven Seagal bringing the heat. So the movie ends with her failing like three times to do her damn job, and she points the prop gun at the people who are filming and is like, tell me why you need to see this. Tell me why you need to see this. I'm delivering these lines pretty much like she did. You know what? Like, this is a woman who, like, her death wasn't greater than her life and all this other stuff. You know, actually, I don't know if we can do that. We got screeners for this on Vimeo. And so I was going to say I could actually play her final speech, but I'm not 100% sure how the rights would work to that. So I'm not going to. I'll have to ask next time, because that would be fun. But suffice it to say, she has this speech exoriating the people making the film and, through the magic of cinema, us for watching. And then she shoots herself in the head anyway and pretends to die. And then at some point she sits up and says, like, you're all sadists. It's just like, you know what? Go fuck yourself. Like, be better at your job. And this wouldn't be a snuff film. It might actually be a moving experience that tells us something about depression and sadness and what the 1970s in a professional environment did to women and what societal expectations did to them. Don't blame me for your movie being shit because your process is nonsense and you have no talent. Like, like, this movie, like I said, inoculates itself and makes you feel like a sadist because it's not showing you anything that's trying to be anything more. And it's annoying and it's cheap and it's fake and I don't like it.
You don't like it?
No, Bill. Sure? I've been holding back my opinion all this time, and I think now I can finally say I just didn't like this film that much.
Okay. Interesting.
That much. Wow. I don't know.
That's, you know, and look, like, I can definitely see where Brian's coming from, because there were moments where I felt the exact same way. I felt that this I don't even know what the fuck to call this thing. This documentary was almost purposeless.
I feel like the documentary term, though, is like getting us into trouble, because
No. When I say the documentary, I'm talking about the part of the film that is focused on Kate playing Christine.
That's,
and then
still
when I
not
say
really a documentary, though.
That's
there's
the
still
weird
so many
there's...
moments where it's, I mean, it's a documentary in the same way that, like, F for Fake is a documentary.
Well, what is the conceit of this movie? Like, is it a,
I think,
is it
I think
a
that's
mockumentary,
the, yeah.
like Parks and Recreation, where they never express
no?
that there's a thing? Or is it, like, I don't even know. Like, I can't, is someone following her around with a camera, or are we just getting, like, a weirdly subjective viewpoint of her life?
Yeah, I mean, for a while there, I was under the impression that she was director of her own documentary about making a film, and I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting. Why is it shot like this? I couldn't get through what it was trying to do until I started seeing some of the sequences of the film itself, the film within the doc, and I was like, this is weird. I have a lot of love for a film that is brave enough to kind of be something different than just something that's easy to kind of explain, like, oh, this is a documentary, or oh, this is a film. This is a film within a documentary about making a film, and I'm just like, oh, my head hurts. Just
right. There's like a documentary aspect to this film about the film that it's about, but I don't know who's making that documentary. I don't know.
Yeah, apparently Robert Greene is the director of the writer and director of the documentary, right? Of Kate Plays Christine, right? And I'm wondering if Robert Greene is the director of the film within the documentary.
Right.
Yes.
He is?
Okay.
Yes.
That just blows my mind. I don't understand.
I don't have a problem with blurry metatextual nonsense like that. You know, I loved Community. Great. Like, I get things like that. Schenectady, New York, fantastic. I mean, but the problem is that this movie is like an Alan Sorkin argument in the newsroom. Like, he makes a bad argument against his own argument to make his argument seem great.
Well, and it's just, I don't know about that
one. It's annoying. Like, the movie, the way this movie ends is laughable. Like, I openly laughed in my living room watching this, and I said out loud, I'm like, this is a terrible movie. Like, I'm a 17-year-old, and won't this be so edgy because I've never watched anything that wasn't made in the last 5 years. Like, this is nonsense. Like,
you know, this director is like incredibly well read, right? I just want to mention that.
But I'm not saying that that's what the director's like. I'm saying that's what the tone of it feels like. Mm-hmm. Like, I just can't. Like, this movie is, I just couldn't get into it. And to, you know, Gus Van Sant made a very moving, powerful film out of what is basically the Columbine Massacre, and for you to then say that this one woman's suicide is a sadistic thing that can only be seen by people like that, it's ridiculous, because art has the power to take anything, no matter how ugly and weird and terrifying it is, and make it something that can be something. And this movie doesn't seem to accept that, or doesn't seem to give voice to that, just so that it can end with a woman who just killed herself, quote unquote, on air, staring at us and calling us sadists for wanting to see.
I don't think she's calling the audience sadists, by the way. I think she's absolutely calling Robert Greene a sadist and everyone who is filming her. If this whole film is a conversation between them, and I think I think it is.
I think it is, but that's my confusion, is who is the director of this documentary ultimately? If it's Robert Greene and it's Caitlin Scheel making a documentary about having a conversation with Robert Greene, and yet his input is never really seen in the film, except as a whole, it's him signing off being the director and writer of it. And it, like, all of this, like, I never see his perspective. And I'm curious.
You never see the perspective, Bill, of anyone who isn't an actor in this film.
Well, exactly.
We never get, like, the director, the writer, the camera people.
Exactly.
People are kind of there. But that's a dumb, one-sided argument. Especially, again,
I don't think
when
it's,
the lead actor
it's
is
not
such
an
a
argument.
Vapid shell.
No, it's not an argument.
You said it's a conversation.
No, it is a conversation. The conversation is between the camera and Caitlin Scheel, and it's about, why is she doing this?
Why don't we get the director and the writer in?
And she's saying, why is You keep bringing up things like it's her job.
Yeah.
But that's not what this movie is about at all. It's literally about them questioning why are they even doing this process the whole time. And I found that experience satisfying. And you
but
did
no
not.
But no one ever answers them. Like, there's they never well, ask
Brian,
the people
Brian,
who brought them here.
Brian.
That's
you
an
said,
answer.
You
might not like it, but that's an answer.
That's not an answer. How is that an answer? Because these people are self-absorbed and are asking the universe rather than asking the person who hired them to do this?
I mean, okay. Well, here's an issue, right? Okay. If questions are asked and answers aren't given, is that pleasing?
That's, okay, and, wait.
And
but
some
you
people,
just said they weren't talking to the audience. They were talking to the people who were making their movie.
Exactly. That's
who are you quoting at this moment?
Michael.
Because I didn't say that.
Michael did.
Okay, but I'm talking.
Okay.
So
just,
that has nothing
like,
to
you
do
seem
with.
To be trying to make a similar argument. So I just Bill want you to be aware that that's what Michael said so that you can work that
yes.
in if you need to.
Just ignore me.
All right. Well, so again, here's my question. If answers or if questions are being asked that answers aren't given to, is there something fundamentally wrong with that? And I don't necessarily
Absolutely
have – okay, but you clearly have
expectations.
An issue,
I'm going to...
an issue with this particular film because it's asking questions that you feel, I guess, aren't answered in the documentary itself. And so – it seems like you are having a lot of issue with that in particular, that they're asking questions. They're asking kind of these abstract kind of, you know, actorly, like, what are we doing here? Why is this happening? And kind of situations like that. And I don't have any issue with that happening. I don't necessarily
allow me to try to clarify my position.
No, and Bill, continue.
Well, I want Bill to continue understanding what I said. So I need 10 seconds, right. Bill, and then I'm going to let you continue. But I want to be sure that you know what I'm saying. Can I do that, please?
Sure, go ahead.
Because you're making an argument that I want to hear, but I want to be sure that you get this. So, okay, the problem is this movie is super complicated. I don't have a problem with the actors in the greater Kate Plays Christine asking questions that are never answered by the film if they want us to think about them. However, I do have a problem with Scheel as the actress playing Christine Chubbuck asking questions that never get answered by the creative forces that are employing her to make this film.
And I can definitely understand where that aspect is troubling, right? I mean, I've expressed my own similar issues with I don't know who the fuck is directing this film, right?
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Like I don't understand how this director is writing and signing off on him being a writer-director of this documentary, and yet we don't get his perspective. And it also seems like Kate is at issue and at odds with the fact that they're even making this film within a documentary, whatever the fuck you want to call this thing, right? So there's a lot of complicated issues there, but I don't necessarily have any issue with her asking those questions. I don't have an issue with it not being answered, because I think anytime it's left to us as an audience to kind of bring our own feelings and answers to a project like this, is I think it's fascinating. I think overall what is happening in this documentary is fascinating. Now, its quality may be good or bad or somewhere in the middle. I obviously kind of fall in the middle, but I think what it's doing is fascinating in just what it's doing as a whole. Not necessarily its quality, right? But what it's doing as a whole. So, because look, we mentioned it at the start, and I think it serves to kind of be reiterated that this film played alongside at Sundance an actual film that was filmed to be a qualitatively good movie, right? It was called Christine. What was it called? and it had Rebecca Hall. It had Rebecca Hall, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, she's a fantastic actress. So, yeah, you don't cast her in that role to be a shitty movie. You cast her in that role to be a really good movie. And so I think what was happening at Sundance while this, you know, let's put it in kind of like a zeitgeist kind of situation. This film played at Sundance right next to Christine playing at Sundance, right?
Yes.
The Sundance people knew what the hell they were doing.
Right.
And I think this film benefits from being in part of that conversation. So if you want to see the good movie of Christine's life, you watch Christine. If you want to see what it might have been like, because I like, this is what's also blowing my mind, is in order to make Christine, Rebecca Hall and some of the writers and directors of that own film had to be retracing a lot of these own steps.
But
and so
but,
yeah. I'm right?
Like, the issue is that I'm sure if Rebecca Hall had moral quandaries with the creation of her film, she would have talked to Antonio Campos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Kate Plays Christine is airing out those problems with is Caitlin Scheel airing out those issues on display? It is very clearly constructed, but it is absolutely supposed to feel like the camera is never really off Caitlin Scheel.
Right.
So it's supposed to be that all things come with a side of authenticity, but it's also constructed very clearly.
Right. But would it not... I don't even remember how we got here, but would it not have benefited from any of the other creative forces brought to bear on this film to come out and say something? And if not, then why isn't she, in the world of this movie, a better actress who actually seems to be responding to this in any way?
Yeah, but we disagree with you about the actress part.
Yeah. Yeah, disagree on that.
I will allow quality of her acting to be a subjective thing that we don't have to agree on. So I will drop that. Just why? And again, if you, Michael, are not letting me say that she's asking the audience this question, then what is the purpose of keeping all the people who might have ever spoken to her off camera and out of this narrative, which is what this film is, a narrative?
Sure.
I mean, that's the end of your sentence? I get there's no conflict in this movie because it's just her having trouble doing her job and then eventually being a jerk about it to her boss.
they're making art. How many times have we heard about these
collaborative artistic process?
Yeah, and it's also very bombastic and at times contentious, because I mean, if you've ever heard about some of these behind the scenes stories,
do you see any of that reflected in this movie?
Yes.
I see some of that, yeah.
When does she ever conflict with, like, anyone on set? Except at the very end.
When she keeps asking, I don't know what the fuck we're filming right now. She keeps mentioning that at one point when she's, like, having this conversation with her fake mom. And she keeps mentioning over and over, I don't know why we're filming this sequence. I don't know what is going on in this sequence. I can't figure it out. And she's having that conversation. And look, a conversation is supposed to be two ways, ideally, right? But a conversation doesn't have to be two ways. You can have a one-sided conversation with someone. You can just ask these questions and not necessarily see the answers that were probably given on set but were taken out in the edit.
You don't think that they were taken out for the specific purpose of making the audience, us, feel like these questions were being lobbed at us?
I mean, yes, but...
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
At least we can agree on that.
Okay. And I just want to I want to clarify the conflict thing. I think the ongoing conflict of the film, and it's something we've talked about, is that there isn't a way to find out who this person actually was. We keep, you know, she doesn't get anything more than a morsel. The biggest thing she gets from somebody is seeing a interview from Christine Chubbuck a few years earlier where she says, you know, one line and then lets another person talk for 5 to 6 minutes.
I was going to mention that.
Which is actually, I liked that because that is exactly what Kate has been doing this entire time whenever she's going out and talking to people.
Sure.
So there was a nice harmony there. I think that that was on purpose, though. That's actually me giving the movie some fucking credit.
Well, one thing I do want to mention real quick, and I'll let you return to that point, Michael, but I was hoping you weren't going to go down that specific route, so I wasn't going to have to talk, kind of interrupt, because I wanted to add this.
No, go ahead.
She definitely mentions how good she says multiple times how good Kate or Christine was at her job, how much she worked at it, how much she tried at it, and things like that. And for one of the last sequences, I thought was both disturbing and like a lot of conflicting kind of emotions were happening when the one person that was kind of like had the video of an interview with her basically said outright she wasn't a good interviewer.
Yeah.
And you're just like, wait, so she wasn't good at her job?
Yep.
Like I'm really confused now, because like that was all Kate was like holding on to, was that like this woman basically threw herself at her career and was frustrated by how she wasn't making headway and how her stories kept on getting pushed underneath. And it's like, well,
to be fair, guys, there's a difference between reporting and interviewing. I've known really good reporters who are bad at interviewing, and I've known really good interviewers who are terrible at reporting.
Well, I went to school for journalism, so I know a lot of those people as well. Luckily I'm fantastic at both.
I did journalism as well, but
yeah.
So, I mean, it's one of those moments though, where, I mean, I hate to shit on the Hollywood Reporter roundtables, but they used to have one of their head editors was doing the interviews, and he would literally break in between all of these brilliant people talking and ask the most mundane questions, and you were just like, what the fuck are you doing here? I understand you are like a editor-in-chief of the fucking Hollywood Reporter, but I don't understand why you're such a shitty interviewer and you placed yourself in that position, right? So again, it's that question of, okay, Christine, you aren't a very good interviewer. Why are you doing interviews?
It's like, I love the people, this is on Twitter, where they're like, hey, I'm interviewing this actor, what should I ask them? And it's like, you run a website, what are you talking about? Like, fucking ask your own questions.
I think part of that is they just want that audience interaction, and they're not going to ask any of those questions, right?
I should hope not, because I've seen those questions.
yeah, we've all been at a Q&A, right?
God.
It's fucking terrible.
Best Q&A ever was, it ended when someone asked a question about one thing, and then the next immediate person in line asked the same damn question, like without irony. And then they said, okay, well, that's the last question we're going to take. That was the Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy premiere here at AFI Silver. Good times. We do have to wrap up. What have we learned here?
Well, hold on. Michael, were you done with your point about kind of her finally watching that tape and him mentioning that she wasn't a very good interviewer?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, I guess it's just
interaction, by the way, was like, I loved that sequence in particular.
Sure.
I think
that was good.
I think that is everything that this film wants. That is the highest it reaches, and that's the highest it wants to reach, I think, in a way.
That's why I find it especially difficult to say that this feels shoddy, because there are things in here that, you know, are the most like pure documentary parts, or that show like someone who is very clearly understands how to frame and edit those things. So I don't really have a problem with the fact that those don't feel like sore thumbs to me. It just feels like something that's folded into this larger exploration. I don't know. All the things I like about how this feels so unclassifiable seem to be the things that become sticking points. And I guess I can understand that, but I absolutely think that there is ongoing conflict between, you know, the source material, for lack of a better term, and Caitlin Scheel and Robert Greene. I think that there is constantly a tension that even the movie is aware that this isn't quite coming together how we want it to. But that doesn't read to me as a flaw. That reads to me as that there are some things about human nature that are unknown and can't – or excuse me, not unknown, but cannot be replicated.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm happy for that to be the last word. All right. Well, that's Kate Plays Christine, and that is out in limited release now. I don't know where else it's going to be.
I don't know. That was a good conversation, guys, even if we're all over the map.
Yeah, I mean, that's the central tragedy of this movie, as far as I'm concerned, is how much it had going for it and how much fertile ground it had to till, and then the fact that it only decided to grow like 1 square foot of lima beans. So food analogies.
Why the fuck has got to be lima beans?
Because I don't like them.
Brian had to get in his last dig. Are you kidding?
So let me remind everyone that this is brought to you by Mubi, MUBI.com/filmstage for a free month. And that is a new, classic, foreign, independent, or all-around awesome cinema gem every single day, delivered right to your devices. You can download them, as I am so fond of reminding people, so that you can watch even when you are on the move. So that is Mubi.com, MUBI.com/filmstage for a free month trial on us. Try it out, and you will love it. I'm apparently trying to make that the tagline, and it's not a good one, so I apologize. Still looking for a movie tagline. So, that is all for today. Find us on Twitter, @FilmStageShow. Find us on the Facebook, @TheFilmStageShow. And, of course, you can also comment on the pages these are posted on thefilmstage.com. So, gentlemen, let's tell the fine people at home where we can be found. Bill Graham.
Oh, Jesus.
All right. Well, let's go. Michael Steindl, where can you be found online? Since Bill can't, he's not ready.
You can find me on Twitter at Snydell, telling the world that cinema is, in fact, not dead.
No, I've read a few articles that say it's dead.
No one has any opinions about that. I'll actually be doing some writing next week. I'll have some words about Sully and a really good indie called Kicks on the film stage. So look for that.
Bill Graham.
You can find me making sure my interviews are up to snuff.
more word responses. That's an important word.
You can find me on Twitter @CableBFG, where I will not be asking people what I should ask so-and-so person interviewee.
Bill, I'm really proud of your ethics as far as your interviews are going.
You can also find me writing about movies on the film stage and also freshfiction.tv.
All right, and you can find me online. My personal site is dearfilm.net. I also write, of course, for thefilmstage.com. You can find me on Twitter @BrianJRowan. where I will be calling everyone sadists. You guys are sadists. That is all for today. Join us next week. Thank you very much.